Much love to Dub CNN when she told me what the name was. Nigga, I missed that one. God, that's cold ass name. I love that shit. Dub CNN, y'all. Yeah. Your boy Lonzo right here, the Godfather of West Coast Hip Hop.
We're back live with Lonzo of the World Class Wrecking Crew.
Yes, and sir.
The guy that started everything with the NWA thing, and you guys know the story. How you doing today, my man?
I'm good, man. The show got a new voice on this too, don't you?
Go ahead. My man. Okay, good, good. I wanted to start off. I'm gonna talk about a little bit about the industry, NWA stuff. But I want to talk about you, because when you came out, you were an artist, correct?
No.
Nope. In the Workhouse Wrecking Crew, you know?
Yeah. I'm an artist.
Right.
But I was a businessman first.
Okay. But
I'm like, I stumbled into the art part.
Okay.
That was not my intention. I mean, well, understand this. Back in the day, before I went to college, I went to El Camino College. I didn't graduate. Went to Elco. Took up lighting. I took up acting. I took up business. And my mom got sick. Okay. She had cancer. So I dropped out of Elco. And when she died, I had to go to work.
Gotcha.
And I took those skills. I got a scholarship in broadcast school.
Dope.
Okay. So I went to broadcast school first.
Okay.
Then I went to Elco. She died right after I graduated and got my license and stuff from broadcasting.
Okay.
And I just started taking my skills and putting them to work.
Gotcha.
You know, I knew how to hook up lights. I knew how to hook up mirror balls. And I knew how to play records. And at that time, it was the disco era. It was the 70s. It was 76, 77.
Right.
Motherfuckers are doing this. Right. Okay? They doing this shit right here. And I'm having them doing it in the alleys. I got a little club. This little dude, my cousins, had a little club.
Okay.
On 108th and Main Street.
Right,
wasn't much bigger than this room right here.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
The club.
Okay. Small. It was small. The homeboy, I wasn't but 19.
Okay.
But he let me play on his turntables.
Okay.
And I knew how to play records down with the broadcast. I showed him my license. Because back then, a broadcast license didn't mean shit in the club, but it looked good.
Right. Right.
The broadcast. Okay. Go ahead and do your thing.
Get you in some doors.
Uh-huh. And, you know, man, it just was. I was a businessman before I was anything. I was a DJ. That's my first love.
Right.
For anything else, I love playing records. I love making people party. I love watching people's emotions change as my music changes. Mm-hmm. And I know how to control them. Mm-hmm. People understand how the power of music.
Mm-hmm.
Music
mm-hmm.
is one of the most powerful mm-hmm. art forms known to man.
Mm-hmm.
It can control your emotions, control your thoughts, program you to do all kinds of shit you ain't think you was even thinking about doing.
Okay.
Yep. Well, music has been weaponized against us right now, but that's another conversation.
That's another conversation.
Don't even put me on that.
Okay,
right
okay.
There. Yeah, y'all need some more SD cards.
I was about to say.
Y'all need some 20s on that one right there, but 28s on that one right there. But,
okay, please come back.
Okay. So as I learned, because that's what I learned in broadcast school.
Right.
I learned that in broadcast school. It didn't have mixing and scratching and shit back then.
Right.
They taught you how to program music.
Right.
How to program for radio. How to program for 4 hours, 5 hours. Because that back then, radio shifts were 4 hours, four
gotcha.
Or 5 hours.
Gotcha.
Okay. So you can't just play the same shit all day long. And based on your day part,
right.
The morning shift needs something that the afternoon shift don't get.
Mm-hmm.
And the evening shift wants something altogether different.
Right.
And overnight, you want something depending on what you're doing. If you're making love past midnight,
right.
Or if you're working.
Right.
You don't know what you're doing until somebody call you. Hey, man, I'm over here working at the graveyard shift. Could you
right.
play so-and-so?
Right.
Because they want to get
right.
picked up.
You're right, you're right.
Hey, man, I'm trying right. to give it my girl. I need some eyes and brothers on mine, okay? So you got to know how to do that. So all those things were taught to me at an early age. And when I was a house party DJ.
Okay.
And a house party DJ, you the workingest motherfucker in the world.
Yeah, but
you 5 hours.
Right.
You can't. You got
you're
one
there
pitch
for the
break.
Whole function, huh?
You for the whole. You there from the time they bring the potato salad in, okay? Till they start taking it, start cleaning shit up, okay? And you got one or two people that's listening to you the whole time. Mm-hmm. Don't give a damn where you at. It's one or two people always watching the DJ. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you got to watch that person and see how that person gonna respond. Right. If you start playing records too much, the same record, right, they're gonna let you know.
Right.
And you know, then you gotta watch, see where the couples come in at, you see where the singles at. All these things are factors that people don't understand about the music.
About the DJ and the...
You got, there's a psychology behind mm-hmm, playing music, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay? Right. You know, it's like when you go to church.
Right, right.
Now the body in the casket, they play one type of sad mm-hmm. ass shit. Mm-hmm. when they want to get you to hit your pockets and write a check, it's tambourine come out, okay? It's tambourine time, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So once you understand yeah. all this right yeah. here, okay? Yeah. Once you understand all that right there, okay? It helps you produce music right, and it helps you to play music right.
Gotcha.
And that's what most, they don't teach that in DJ school. They teach you how to scratch and mix and how to be a show DJ.
Right.
They don't teach you how to rock a party. That's why most cats only have a good hour, maybe 20, 45 minute sets, because mm-hmm. they can't go long distance.
Yeah, they're not built for that.
They ain't built for that. Right, they ain't prepared for that.
They prepare for that, exactly.
Right. I walk into a club, I play from 9 to 2. I don't need but one piss break. Still do it.
I believe it, my man. Okay. So you went into the game business-minded first.
I went into business first.
But you were DJ, was your love.
DJ was my love.
Okay.
Okay.
So you went into the club.
I stumbled into the club.
Okay.
I was hustling, okay. doing shows.
Okay.
Now here's some shit people don't understand. Me and Roger from Uncle Jam's Army worked at the same record place.
Okay.
And he had the idea to do an Alpine Village, but I got the equipment.
Okay.
He didn't have no equipment. So I was a DJ, he was a promoter.
Okay.
Okay. And we started doing the Alpine Village.
Alpine
Village. And his ass is tight. He was tight. He don't give a nigga no money. Give a nigga $40, $50. I think I got all this shit in my truck. Give me $50, okay? And when you lose money, you don't want to pay me. You want to look at me like I'm not an investor. I don't take off. I'm an employee.
Right.
And then at some point in time, I decided to start doing my own shows.
Got it.
And we fell out.
And you fell out.
That's how we fell out. Oh, we fell out because I started doing my own show.
Of course, because he probably looked at you like his understudy.
Right, right. You know, well, I don't need you. You need me.
Right.
I can pass out flyers, hang up posters. Right. And like I was telling you earlier, once you start doing stuff, people want to, once they see you doing stuff, they want to jump on your team.
Exactly.
So as I started doing stuff by myself, my boys, hey man, that nigga doing stuff. Let's go help him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
If you pushing your car down the street, people that get out
real
and help
you. Real talk.
You sit in the car waiting on AAA. Ain't nobody gonna help you.
Real talk.
If you're pushing a car out the street,
super
man or woman,
super real talk.
Right. Somebody gonna, let me help this nigga out right quick.
Yep.
Okay,
right.
Get his brother a push. Yep. Okay. They see you out there trying to make them happen. Yep. That's when they help you.
That's when they help you.
If you sit in the light,
waiting for it to come to you,
they ain't coming.
They ain't messing with you.
They ain't coming.
They ain't messing with you. They ain't messing with you.
They figure you got help coming.
Right.
Okay. Are you just gonna sleep or some shit? So. Well, I tell everybody, like I told her earlier,
right.
You know, when you want to get something done, start doing it.
Right.
Start doing it to the best of your ability. It may not be as fly as you want it to be, mm-hmm. but it's what you do to get started.
Right.
And as you can do better, you do better.
Right.
And that's what I started doing. I had a couple Sanyo belt drive turntables.
Okay.
And I didn't need to mix and scratch because we weren't mixing and scratching then.
Right.
In radio school, they taught us one thing. No dead air, and dead air is silence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
You keep the music talking, keep the music going. If something happens to the turntable, motherfuckers start talking.
Don't let them hear
silence, because mm-hmm. silence is gonna turn the station.
Right.
Right.
As long as you talking and the shit's in the station is on,
something
they,
going on.
They know you there.
Right.
Okay,
right.
But ain't no silence. They think the station turned off.
I've heard
and
that
they gonna turn
too.
The station.
Right. Right. I've heard that before.
So, doing all that right there, man, it just. You know, it is when I tell people my story, I never set out to be the godfather of West Coast hip-hop.
Right, right, right.
I was just a motherfucker trying to play records.
Right.
My goal was to play records at Campanella Park.
Wow.
That was my biggest goal. That was my goal.
That's right down the street from where we grew up. Right. What are you talking about?
I used to go to St. Albert's.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
My first DJ gig was Regina Chetty across the street from St. Albert's. That was my first DJ gig. My first regular gig was Regina Chetty every other Friday, $50.
Wow, dude.
But when I was 14 years old,
he says,
when I was 14 years old, KGFJ used to do dances at Capitola Park.
Okay.
Cost you quarter.
Oh.
Why? If you didn't go to the dance on Friday or Saturday, you was a punk Monday morning at school. Yeah, I was the Vanguard. Oh. You was a punk Monday morning.
I grew up in the street from Vanguard.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay? I grew up, you didn't go to... Go
135th is the divider between right. Vanguard right. and, you know...
Right. Between Maine and San Pedro.
Between Maine and San Pedro?
Yes. I grew up
between Maine and San Pedro, 137th.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, you was over in the fives.
In the fives, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
All my
right
boys.
We play football at Vanguard, bro.
I play football at Vanguard, but I play football for, I played Pop Warner at Gardena.
They sent us to Gardena.
That's where
he graduated. I did too.
Oh, you did mention El Camino. That's where my eyes lit up. You said El Camino. I said, wait a minute.
I graduated from Gardena. I chased me out of Centennial. Right. Because I wasn't gangbanging. That's what gangbanging first kicked off.
Thick. Yeah, he'll stick over
I left there running right. and got my diploma from Gardena High School in 75.
Right. Wow.
But because my dad used to cut lines in the fives, I knew all the guys in the fives.
Crazy.
All my homies lived in the fives. I had homies everywhere.
Are you serious?
Yes.
This conversation just got wow, bro.
Yeah.
I know nobody. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
That's why I do interviews, man. You ain't got a SD card big enough to tell you my story.
Right.
Oh, we
right.
had a couple of them. We went shopping.
You grew up with, you knew some of the people like my uncles.
Who's your uncle?
Okay. My family was the Halls. They were on 137th Street. The Halls.
Okay.
I'm trying to say. Other last name, you got the Askins over there.
I know the Askins.
You know the Askins?
Yeah, right.
The Askins and one of the Askins boys and my dad were best friends.
That's okay. You know the Coopers?
The Coopers. I probably do.
Okay.
I know Janice Cooper. She lived on the corner. Her brother, Willie, hired me in 1999.
Yeah.
Over there.
Yeah, Grace
Street Watts.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
She had two brothers. One of them was Willie. Willie had a Jerry curl. Willie looked like the thing. Yeah, he used to have a brown. Daddy was rich. And daddy was baller. Okay.
Yeah. I learned that you something about Stan the Guitar Man.
And his brother Ronald. They just got their guitars.
Okay.
My daddy used to cut lines on their street town. They lived on town, and I cut their line.
Wow.
I'd watch it rehearse in the garage while I'm chasing the line boys. You know.
This is crazy.
Right? So,
we all grew up in the same.
When I tell people don't understand that my road to where to become who I am is filled with all kind of crazy shit.
I can imagine.
People don't even know that.
I know the area you're from.
Right. People don't know that me and Dre grew up on the same street.
Wow.
His dad and my older sister was partners. His dad, his mom, and my older sister was friends.
Wow.
When Dre's dad was when Dre was born, his dad came to my house and told my mom, "I just had a kid. Now I'm 8 years old."
Aww.
Now understand this right here. People say, "Nigga, how the fuck you remember that shit?" Well, in 1965. Wasn't no niggas named Andre.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Everybody was Elmer, Bob, Frank, Robert, John.
Your name,
shit
Mom,
like that, okay?
Yep, yep.
So when I heard the name Andre, I'm fucking, Andre? Who the fuck is Andre? What's that?
Right.
And my mama said something I'll never forget. She said, "Babies having babies." Because if you remember watching the movie with Dre in the movie, she had him when he was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. She got pregnant with Dre when she was 15.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom said something that I'll never forget. And the term was babies having babies.
Right.
And that went away till the nigga walked up on my steps when he was 16 years old.
Wow.
And it took me about 6-8 months to realize, you the motherfucker they was talking about.
That baby.
You the baby they was talking about.
Okay, let me try to organize my thoughts, get back on track, because I was going seamless. I mean, you know, trying to go seamlessly.
Fucked you up, though.
You fucked me up, man. You fucked me totally up, bro. You know what I'm trying to say? I know your struggle was hard. Like, people don't know it. I know that area, bro. You do too, Michelle.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
So.
It was a different time, though, man.
Yeah.
Because we would walk to Campanella Park.
Right.
On Friday nights. Okay.
Okay.
Walk up to McDonald's.
Yeah.
We cut through the hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to McDonald's,
right
come
here.
Back to the to the park.
The alley right there.
To the alley. Walked down. We walked down down by the wires and shit.
Okay.
To 132nd.
Yeah.
Shoot down 135th.
Yeah.
Shoot 135th, and some niggas would go to the 5. And we hop on the 5th and Vanguard and keep on going.
Bro.
And we do that. The party be over like 10 o'clock. We do that at nighttime. I'll be walking to the sets, man.
Right.
We walked to the sets with biscuits on.
Crazy, bro.
With biscuits on, man.
That's crazy, bro.
We walked to sets with biscuits on, man. You know,
like I always hear rumors. You know, listening to hip hop and the rumors, Dre was from Athens. You know, you hear that. I always thought it was a rumor type thing.
Athens wasn't even really a factor in my neighborhood at that time. Okay. Athens gotcha. Park Boys, it was APB.
Right. We're the Five Boys over there.
Yeah, we're the Five Boys. And in my neighborhood, was we went to Athens Park, but we had our own little thing. But right. We really went. Gangbang wasn't official yet.
It wasn't. It was just like cliques.
It had little cliques, right? Okay. Yeah. And because you were swimming at Athens Park, they knew you lived on Carlton. Okay.
You were Athens Park.
It was cool.
Right.
And then they had the Jarvis Boys around the corner from us. They had the Jarvis Boys. My street wasn't on gangbangers.
Right.
We didn't really gangbang.
Right.
Our biggest rivals was the niggas on Jarvis.
Around the corner.
Okay. So we never got. We go to Athens Park. You know, nigga might patch your pocket, some shit like that. Yeah. But you didn't get beat up or nothing.
Yeah. It got worse over time. Yeah.
You got crazy. Do your thing, man. Don't let me stop you. I'll fuck you up some more.
All right, my man. Back to your career. Your DJ. I was gonna talk about. Okay, you were DJing. How did you stumble into the artist part? Because I know you were doing the artist thing too, you were heavily involved in the music.
You know, being a DJ, growing up watching, being a kid in the 70s, growing up watching Michael Jackson and Jackson 5 and Temptations, like, I can't sing. I just want to get to do some shit.
Right.
I can't sing, but I want to be a fucking man. I would've got me a natural, bought me a bass guitar and shit. I can't play this motherfucker, but I look good holding this motherfucker.
I remember the video, right? Yep.
Time progressed, and when we started booking this, I started bringing acts to Eve After Dark, Curtis Blow, Run DMC. Nigga started rapping. Nigga, I could hold a beat.
Right.
Rapping wasn't competitive. It was so early in the game.
You heard it on dance tracks a lot. I remember you heard rap verses on dance tracks.
Right,
a
but
lot.
You back in the 70s, early 80s, you only had Curtis Blow and Sugar Hill Gang. You had a few other people.
Right.
But they had their own hip hop.
Right. Don't stop dance.
I can do that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do that shit.
He said it's all.
And, we made a record called the EAD Rap.
Okay.
And that was the DJs from the crew. This was before Dre got there.
Okay.
Never put the record out.
EAD Rap.
EAD, Eve After Dark Rap.
Eve After Dark Rap.
Right. Yeah, it was done to Rockskate Roll Bounce. That was the hot track next to Chic.
Okay.
So we was gonna drop Rockskate Roll Bounce after Chic, but then they got sued. They didn't want to get sued. So we didn't know shit about no clearances. We didn't know that all you do is give niggas some money. Everything would be good.
Right.
Never put the record out.
Okay.
So I had the record bug. I've been to the studio, I recorded the shit, and we do it in the club. Okay. And we did it just to keep the crowd cracking. And a few years later, when I started doing rap contests, I made clientele. Yellow was already in the crew. Okay. And Dre fell through one night and turned the club out with some DJ shit.
Okay.
And I said, well, fuck it, I'm gonna make a record. Truthfully, Egyptian Lover had made a record.
Okay.
And I'm like, fuck that, they can't beat us. Fuck that shit. Fuck that. Okay. Them niggas made a record.
Yeah.
And that's how we were back then.
Okay.
Them niggas make a record. I'm finna make an album.
Fuck that.
We made the first album. See, them niggas made they made the first 12 inches. We made the first album.
Right.
See, that's how you get the upper motherfucker.
The music was hard, too.
Damn
people
right.
People sleep on that. People sleep on it because the era changed. It got more gangster rap.
Right.
You know, he had to have the khaki. You had to have a certain, you know what I'm saying? But the music was hard.
Right.
The music was
so
hard.
So whatever Uncle Jam's Army did, we had to do one better.
Okay.
Okay. That's how we rolled back then.
Right.
We didn't just, you know, oh, niggas, fuck that, nigga. You niggas made an album, made 2 12-inches. I'm thinking, made a fucking album, nigga, 9 cuts, okay? Right, right. That's what I did. I had the money. Dope, okay, yeah, even if God provided me the money to do that. Dope. So now I'm making records. Clientele, we did the first record. And then we started doing the album. Dre came along, and Dre's music, Dre's doctor thing kind of worked so well. Okay. Surgery, yeah. House calls, right. And shit. That, all that whole vibe worked. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I had to form my own label. I had people that who was mentoring me in the record business. Like I told you earlier, if you know what the fuck you're doing, find somebody that does, mm-hmm. and get up under their ass. Mm-hmm. I got up under a couple of cats. Okay. And the guy, you know, I formed my own label. Said, "Might go get distribution because we try shopping demos. Niggas don't do that. They didn't do that shit. Oh, this shit's a fad. It ain't gonna be around that long. We ain't fucking with that. Okay, fine." And they said, "Do it yourself." I'm gonna do it myself. Right. Just do it yourself. Right. Find somebody to press up my records. Oh. And my last job that me and Roger worked at, we worked at a record distribution company. Okay. So we sold records to all the VIPs and mom and pop stores.
So you already had the connection.
I got a fucking piece of paper full of niggas' names. And they know my voice.
Yeah.
I got one of them voices that motherfuckers don't forget. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It ain't like Red Fox, but the way I speak, it ain't, you know, it's very distinctive. It's distinctive how I talk. Right. Okay. And I started calling people, man, I got this new record. Come on by, Lonzo, let me see what you got. Right. And this shit took off. We was doing underground mixes, and we legit. And so I became the underground king. I'm selling to all the VIPs. I'm selling to all the swap meets. Mr. Chan, Mr. Chu. Everybody know me, okay? You know, people only know that Steve Yano was selling at the swap meet, but I'm the one that brought him into the hip-hop game.
Gotcha.
Okay? Gotcha. He was selling records at the swap meet. I met Steve Yano down on Pico, where Pico used to be the record street. Okay. All the one stops on Pico.
Okay.
I'm in there slinging records to one of my other cats, and Steve Yano was in there. Oh, you the guy I'm looking for? No, you ain't, motherfucker. I'm talking about Red.
Nah, bro. What are you talking about?
Red. Like, no. I ain't never seen an Asian dude in that game before. Right. I'm telling the brothers.
Right.
I know these niggas, they FBI.
Right.
I know
these
motherfuckers ain't
gonna
turn.
I go, oh,
okay. So I see I'm selling to a Jewish cat. Steve Yano's in there already. I walk in, I'm trying to stall out, wait around for a minute. And he said, "Go bring the records in." And I brought the records in, and Steve said, "Oh, you the guy that sells these. I've been looking for you." Wow. I'm like, "Fuck you." Okay.
Okay.
I sold these records, these underground mixes, like they was dope.
Right.
Because on the bottom of all records, it says federal copyright.
Right.
And I saw the word federal back then. I'm like, FBI nigga, fuck you.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with that. I'm strictly underground. Okay.
I'm strictly underground. So when the homeboy that I was selling to gave Steve the clearance, I started selling to him. He came by the house.
Dope.
Saw the studio.
Okay.
Hooked up with Dre, hooked up with Easy, took him out to the swap meet.
Right.
Steve became one of my biggest customers. He and his wife come out of the studio, man. They buy 1,000 records.
Oh,
cash! Oh. Cash!
Just start your day off good.
Cash! Okay? I go pick up a van full of records. Yeah. I take him out of his van, put him in his.
Boom.
Okay? Right. I leave my van, my shocks are streaming like a motherfucker, okay? I got to drive like 5 miles and I got
it's heavy.
2,500 records in my truck.
Right.
And if we hit a dip or something, turn the corner too fast, all of them get all mixed up.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. I'm trying to keep them separate because I got orders for Steve. I got orders for VIP. I got orders for Mr. Chan down at the swap meet, Mr. Chu.
Right.
So I got to keep all these records together. You got this. You know, I'm slinging. I got 7-8
like
numbers.
Dope.
I got 7-8 numbers, and both of them are ordering hundreds at a time.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, it was like that.
The last line about the Jermaine Jackson.
I said, ain't no way in the fuck that you niggas have all this fun. And I've been wanting to be Jermaine Jackson all my motherfucking life, okay?
I feel you, though.
I used to have the big natural and shit, because I had a girlfriend that loved Jermaine. I'm running around there with a big-ass natural and a bass guitar, bitch. I can't play nothing, but can I get some
fun? I remember the video, though. I remember it. You had to play it.
That's what I carried on stage with the bass. I never played the motherfucker.
Right.
I just held it.
Right.
But, you know, I wasn't the lead rapper, but I was a rapper. I was in the group.
You was in the group. Okay.
I ain't the best dancer. I can hold a beat, but I got to do something. Right. And my old manager said, he said, nigga, get you a guitar or something.
Right.
Huh. He said, we ain't got no guitars in that motherfucker. He said, get you a bass guitar. Yeah. He said, I'm going to play the bass. He said, Elvis didn't play the motherfucker either.
Why?
Elvis didn't play the guy. You ever seen Elvis do a solo motherfucker?
No.
He said, no, the nigga just held a guitar. That was part of his motherfucking movie.
Right.
That was part of his thing.
I can't play the guitar doing
Elvis,
all that.
Elvis just hold that motherfucker.
You shattered a lot of people's dreams right now.
Elvis, then you can talk about Elvis Presley. No, motherfucker, it wasn't that. Right. So I'm like, I took the Elvis, I took a look at Elvis. Elvis. Give me a bass, get a black bass over there.
Uh-huh.
Then because now we on tour
right.
with cats that got real basses.
Right.
And you gonna do a style check? Nah.
You killing me. Nah, I mean, we good, bro.
Then I had saw my album cover. I had this black glove. I said, that nigga play a bass with a glove on.
Right.
I said, I can't. So I need to get rid of the glove.
Right. So make it believable.
The bass. Right. So I bought a keyboard.
Okay.
They had the little keyboards, the little guitars.
Yes.
Right.
So plus, my sound was computer generated. Mm. So the bass, it wasn't really a bass sound, it was more of a computer bass.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get, I want the synth look, so that I had a synth sound.
Okay.
We had the sound, so I had to emulate the synth. So I fingered the keys, that shit wasn't plugged up in that night. There no batteries.
Oh my God.
No batteries.
Okay.
But it was funny because one night we in Long Beach, right? We in Long Beach Arena, yeah. day show, right? Sunday matinee. And this young dude, it wasn't that big of a crowd. Mm-hmm. So I had this little mini cord plugged into my shit. I stepped on the cord and didn't know it. It came out.
Okay.
And I'm doing my solo. And the kid, hey, mister, your cord came out. Shut the motherfucker up. Facial expression. It's my solo time, motherfucker. So I told him it's cordless.
That's smart though. That's smart. The whole thing was smart though. Like, you know what I'm saying?
See, understand this, man. You won't see many cats talk to you like this right here about the real shit.
I
invented hip hop back in the day, and I wasn't for me, a hip hop wouldn't be shit. You know?
Right.
Yeah, that's not Lonzo. Okay.
Right.
I'm the realest motherfucker you gonna meet. I'm 100 all the time. I'm on full steps, so I got a meal ticket in my pocket.
Right.
Okay. And I tell people these stories not because I'm trying to impress them, because that's the reality, dude. Mm-hmm. The shit was not planned. Well, we're gonna, by 1985, we're gonna have an album deal. And 1987, NWA is gonna Everything was motherfucking luck. Just doing shit.
Blind.
That's water. That's concrete. Okay. That's the shit.
That's crazy.
People forget that when you see Straight Outta Compton, Edie was not trying to be a rapper.
Is that true?
He was not trying to be a rapper.
He really fought Dre to get in the movie.
If you knew Easy, I knew Easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Easy knew that shit was, he was playing a role.
Okay.
That people had kind of threw at him.
Okay.
He gravitated toward the shit. He loved being a character.
Okay.
Eric loved being Easy E.
Gotcha.
Okay. Eric loved being Easy E.
Wow.
Okay. Eric was one of the coolest motherfuckers you want to meet. Always had his kids around. He was like Lonzo.
Right.
But when it came time to being Easy E, he could do that.
God.
And he led a little 5'4" motherfucker leading all these other niggas. Okay?
Man, he played good.
It was a pit bull leading motherfucking poodles.
Yeah.
Okay, or German Shepherd, German Pinschers.
Right.
Okay? And, you know, to him was like, I'm going to do this shit till the wheels fall off.
Right.
He had no idea how big it was going to get. It got so big.
It got huge, man.
They was just fucking around, man.
Right. What was he like in like real life?
Easy was cool, man. Easy would come by the house, man, and just kick it. After he got rich and balling, he still come by my pad and kick it because Yellow was doing pornos.
I remember that.
And Yellow, and where I live at,
after that.
And my street is so secluded.
Right.
He always felt comfortable. You know, he can get out of his car, he can sit on his phone and relax.
Right.
Anybody running up asking for autographs, anybody do all that. I'm like the youngest motherfucker. At that time, I was the youngest nigga on my block. So all the old people let them niggas out there that loud ass.
Right.
But for the most part, he was just that, he was like that. Oh, and so he come by himself. And his bodyguards would meet him at my house, and they go roll out to Wooden Hills to Roofless.
No.
Okay, he was one of them that gave me a check. He was one that after I, you know, when he knew I had juice with the mayor and city council. I mean, I need some hand to come by the office.
Right.
He goes, "This is for you. Go take care of this for me right quick."
Wow.
Okay.
Right.
You know, when he got in trouble, I had to go and I straightened it out for him.
Right.
Me and Omar, the mayor at that time.
Omar Bradley.
Mm-hmm. We went to Centennial together. I'm a year older than him.
Wow.
But he respects me and I respect him. And I arranged for him to meet with Easy.
Crazy.
And it got shit worked out.
Crazy. This
shit motherfuckers don't know.
I know.
Right,
The both people who set it up is dead.
Wow.
Jerry Hill and Easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dre don't know this. Cube don't know this. You know, this is the shit that... You know, motherfuckers don't know because it wasn't nobody else's business.
Right, right, right. So you were Dre. You grew up with
Dre. I grew up with
Easy.
I met Easy through Dre.
Through Dre. Got it. How accurate was the movie?
It was very good as far as entertainment.
Very entertaining. I loved it. I loved it.
Okay. some of the shit with Cube was very accurate. I never went to the parties. You know,
okay.
I wasn't privy to that party, and you know, you got to understand me.
Right.
I'm 20. I'm 8 years older than all them cats.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's some shit that a nigga 34, 35
ain't gonna
shouldn't
do
have
it.
His ass doing. Okay.
18 year olds.
I can't be fucking with these niggas. Got bitches every nigga. These niggas gonna fuck around and get somebody hurt. And I don't gangbang. And I ain't trying to. But I ain't no punk.
Right. See,
that's
right.
The problem, okay?
Right.
Well, certain that era came around,
yeah.
Because I'm from Compton, because I was on the first wave of the gang, I didn't see shit.
Yeah.
The fuck niggas, that was OGs, and won.
Yeah, I believe you. Yeah.
Okay? I've had my record ain't owing nothing. I ain't nothing in owe,
right.
Okay? Yeah. So I understand it's a consequence when you start fucking with certain kind of cats.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I want to put myself in that position?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why put myself in a position where I have to deal with these kind of cats and either prove myself or get tested and lose?
Yeah, because
it ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it.
So I kept my ass out of that shit.
Right.
Gotcha.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's real talk.
Wow, okay.
But getting back to the thing now,
yeah.
I could not, they told me I couldn't own a label and be in a group too.
Okay.
Oh. I said, why not?
Why not?
Why not? Because Smokey Robinson, Barry Gordy ain't a Temptation. Barry Gordy ain't lobster. The fuck they got to do with me?
Exactly. Mm.
Temptation don't run Motown. Give a fuck. They got to do with me. Right. But because I did that.
Right.
I own Crew Cut Records.
Okay. So you were talking to us, Lonzo, about...
Oh, no. Yeah, they told me I couldn't own the label and be in the group, too.
Right.
But because I did that, I paved the way for cats like Easy to own Roofless and be a part of the group.
Right.
Motherfuckers like Jay-Z,
right.
Own Rockefeller and be in the group.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Puffy, same thing. Master P, same thing. So it became the norm after I did it.
Right.
Okay, because Sugar Hill, they was on Sugar Hill Records.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. They didn't own it. Curtis Blow was on Mercury.
Right.
They didn't own that. Okay. When Lonzo sat down and set the new precedent, hip-hop owns its own fucking labels, everybody and his mama started on their labels. Crew Cut, L.A. Dream Team, Egyptian Lover. And then it shot back east with the niggas in L.A. They own their own shit.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So when I talk about what I've done, it's not so much I'm platinum and gold. It's just I knocked down so many barriers in doing what I did to make make other motherfuckers' life easier.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I've owned every drum machine on the man. I don't program beats.
Wow. You don't program beats?
I buy drum machines. I don't program beats.
Okay.
I write lyrics.
Right, 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 right.
I wrote every word to turn off the lights and lovers and all that kind of shit. Okay.
No.
I do lyrics.
Okay.
But in order for me to do lyrics, I gotta have somebody to program the beats.
Right.
So I gotta buy a drum machine for a nigga who can't afford a drum machine.
Right, right, right.
Okay, a guy told me the other day, man, a buddy of mine called me with a friend of his on the phone. Lonzo, you might not remember me, man. But we got history together.
Okay.
History we got together, man. He says, I had a drum machine, an 808 back in the day. This guy named Andre wanted to buy it. Okay. And him and another brother came by the pad to buy my drum machine out in Hawthorne. And Andre was the one to check out the drum machine. I showed him how to work it and shit. Right. But the other guy paid for it.
Okay.
And he says, when they left my house, I noticed their jacket said World Class Record Crew. Oh. They got into a BMW. I said, that was you and Trey, huh? I said, yeah, right. I forgot about the story. He reminded me. So that was my contribution to hip hop that was, you know, hip hop didn't have no fairy godfathers. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to grind from the streets. I was a hustler from the streets. Right. And I converted some of my hustle money and invested in shit that I believed in.
Right. You don't get enough credit. No. I will say that. No.
I don't get any credit. Okay? I don't get any credit. When the people who benefited from my efforts the most don't mention me. Okay? They don't talk about me. Okay? Mm-hmm. All the person talk about me is Q.
Okay, dope.
Q talks about me all the time.
Dope.
Q talks about me all the time. Dope. But in the other two NWA brothers, they don't mention my name. Right. They're ashamed of World Class Record Crew.
Right.
They're ashamed of it. I'm like, what are you ashamed of? That's like saying your
mama. That gave you your start.
Yeah, that's like saying you're ashamed of your mama, man, because she's fat now.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's like a kid saying, my mama's fat now.
My mama.
She gave birth to your motherfucking ass. They don't give a fuck if she turn green on your ass. 700 pounds. Right. That's your theory. That's still where you
real
came
talk,
from.
That's
the realest she gonna get. That's ground zero, baby.
That's ground zero. Yep.
How you gonna
that birthed the whole coast. Cause
how you go,
if you don't get NWA, you don't get you know, all the people, the Cube as a solo artist, you don't get the Death Row from Dre.
Suge told my nephew, who was the sheriff, when he was in county, I had a nephew that's the sheriff, said, man, he called, my cousin nephew called me on his break, said, man, you don't know how much respect you got. He said, man, I just talked to Suge. He said, Suge told, and I told Suge who I was, said, man, that nigga did everything. All we did was took what he did and magnified it.
Oh,
that nigga did everything.
Dope.
He gave us a blueprint.
They just took it and
made it magnified it.
Right.
Okay.
Dope, bro.
You know, dope. Cats that I don't know who I am. I met Snoop for the first time 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. I don't hang out like that, man.
Wow.
I don't hang out.
Right.
You know, I got love for him, but see, it's a different mindset.
Right.
Yeah. I never claimed to set. I don't smoke a lot of weed. I don't get a joint from time to time.
Right.
My thing.
Right.
You know, and you know that's a different. I'm 62. Right, okay. Right. I'm a grown ass man. Right. So at that time I was 50 something, but it was different. So we got different interests.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now I might go out there and hang out with the kids on the football field with it, but that's a different arena.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, me and Cube hadn't seen each other for 20 years since up until the Straight Outta Compton premiere.
Mm. Crazy.
20 years.
Up until the movie came out.
Until the movie came out.
For 20 years?
20 years I hadn't seen him.
Damn. But yeah.
I've never been to an NWA concert.
Never?
Never. Why?
I know, but you came up with him though.
Why? Right? Yeah. If I ain't got a backstage pass, I ain't going.
I got you.
Okay, at that time I knew I was good for a backstage pass.
Got you.
You know, you hear so much shit, you don't know what the fuck to expect.
Well, I'm glad the movie brought light to a little light to your story, though, because before then, I didn't hear anything.
Man, the movie changed my life.
Okay.
The movie changed my life. One, put my name on the radar. All
right.
I was in a hamburger stand yesterday. Kid looked at me and said, man, I know you, don't I? I said, you probably seen me some documentaries. Nah, man, you from Vlad. I did the Vlad interview.
Yeah, I remember the Vlad interview.
I did a couple of Vlad interviews. Vlad even come in. Your interviews are blowing the fuck up. Couple big hits on his shit.
Because a lot of people wanted to hear this.
Right.
Straight up.
Like, see, when people interview me, they don't talk to me about this. They talk, what about Dre? What about you?
Right. No, I wanted to get this your story from your perspective, bro. Because like you the one behind the scenes. You got the, you know what happened.
Right. I was always a grinder.
Right.
You know, I'm still grinding.
Right.
Okay.
Let me spin that. I was just about to ask that, and glad you said that. What are you up to now, Liza? What are you got going on now?
I have a nonprofit, The Lyrical Revolution. We're about to launch a major shit in 2020. Okay. Only reason I'm talking about right now is because I'm waiting on my trademarks to come back.
Okay.
And I'm not doing it without my business right.
Right.
I learned my lesson the hard way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Take care of your business, and your business will take care of you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, so Lyrical Revolution is my nonprofit. And
what is that?
Man, that's a nonprofit. I work with up and coming artists, man.
Oh.
I understand that artists, like I told you, artists don't understand the power of music, man.
Right.
I teach them the power of music, how much influence you have. Anytime a motherfucker can sing a song he don't like, because he'd heard it so many times, that's programming.
All the time. That's programming.
Right.
I just couldn't stand that song by, I'm in love with the Coco. I
can't stand that motherfucker. OG Genesis. Yeah. Shout out OG Genesis.
And I'd be doing something, I'm in love with the I've heard it 100 times.
Hey, the new YG song is doing that to me. The Go Loco song. I didn't like it at first, but they play it on the radio so much. I leave it on. Like, okay, yeah, this, okay, I'm on it. Right.
Okay.
For real.
Everybody, most people don't like trap music, but they love. They end up liking it because they play it so much. You should ask somebody, what's my new album? That's trash. Well, you got a headphone full of trash.
Your playlist is full of this trash you're talking about.
So you learn, after a while, you just become, you just adapt to it. Right. It's like if somebody started giving you brown water to drink. That's all you got to drink. Somebody give you some clear water. If you was a kid, grew up on brown water.
Clear water would look like the devil to me.
Kill me. I can see through it. I can see through it. Look at this shit. Ain't no color to it. You know, it's fucked up. Okay? It's the same thing, man. If you get reprogrammed, I'm programmed on funk, baby.
Right.
If I ain't got no bottom on that shit, I ain't fucking with that.
Right.
If I ain't got no swing on it, if I can't get my groove on, I have no use for it.
Right.
If I can't get my groove onto a record, I have no use for it.
I feel you.
Ask me what the latest dance is.
Say it again?
Ask me what the latest dance is.
What's the latest dance?
You know, what, you tell me?
Okay. Hey, I'm more like you because I don't really know. Do you know the latest dance?
I don't
dance no more.
Right.
Understand this, man. While I was discovering Dre and Cube and N.W.A., I ran nightclubs.
Right.
From 1979 to 2019.
So if it don't make the people move, you don't.
Ain't another motherfucker you gonna put in front of this camera did more parties than I have. Right. Not a motherfucker you can find with a put in front of this camera who did more parties than I have. Either DJ hosted or just open the door and let motherfuckers in.
Let me throw these mics around here.
Okay, and another motherfucker, Uncle Jam's Army gave the biggest dances in the world at the sports arena.
Oh,
but I gave more than any motherfucker in the world.
Ooh!
Who ain't know nobody? You don't know nobody owns six nightclubs and been partying since 1979. I just stopped, put my ass down.
In March, you said.
I just retired from the club in March of this year.
Okay.
Wow, I've owned six nightclubs. Eve After Dark, Doodles, Skateman, Current Affair, Hollywood Park Casino, back to Eve After Dark. Hollywood Park Casino, fifth floor, Club Hall of Fame with my shit. Okay. And I had the Eve After Dark club downstairs, which is Jeffy's, and I was doing a room at the Proud Bird all at the same motherfucking time.
Bro.
Niggas don't know that.
How was he doing?
Nigga, I was just collecting money.
Yeah.
That's why I'm around collecting money all fucking night. I was the only nigga that had the regular spot at that Proud Bird.
Dope, man.
On the little top room up there, and the small room.
Yeah.
Every Saturday night, I could have deal for that motherfucker. I had my club, Eve After Dark cracking.
Right.
Downstairs is cracking.
Right.
And I go to Proud Bird, it was cracking. Picking up money every fucking night.
Come on.
See, niggas don't know that.
Nah.
They talk about Uncle Jam's Army did... Supposed to be the three
That's
times.
Real hustling.
Okay.
Like, for real.
They didn't tell you that motherfucker became the Rolling 60s hangout after the second dance. They don't talk about that part. Del C can tell you he's robbing niggas in the parking lot like a motherfucker.
But what was that like? What?
The sports arena.
The sports arena. Right.
They don't tell you about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, niggas had, you know, they had people in that motherfucker three times. They did three dances. Okay. Right. I've done probably 400, 500, 1,000. Okay. when you have one club. Me and my partner sat on the counter one day. We were together for 20 years.
Okay.
Between the Current Affair, Hollywood Park Casino, and the club. I went back to the Eve in 2008, stayed for 10 years.
Damn. So you just finished up there?
I just finished up there. Yeah, before I had the Eve After Dark, I was at Hollywood Park Casino for 6 years.
Oh.
Every Friday and Saturday.
Oh.
Before I was at Hollywood Park Casino, I was at the at the Current Affair, which is now a Millennium Shoe Store on Manchester. Mm. Okay, I was there for 6 years, owned everything from the keys and the liquor license. Okay, so you take all them goddamn days, you take 22 years right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right there. Cause before I got to the Current Affair, I was doing my music shit.
Right.
Okay, in the 80s, right. And in the early 90s. Okay,
right.
But before I got that, I had Dudo, Skate Land, and Eve After Dark.
Right.
Okay.
It's crazy, bro. Like, your experience as a DJ is extensive.
Ain't nobody, you can't tell me about that.
Because you did the music DJ shit, and you did the live DJ shit.
I carried records like a motherfucker. I tell anybody.
You got a book, bro?
I got a book called NWA, Not Without Alonzo.
Oh,
on Amazon. Oh, on my website. Yes, NWA, sir. Not Without Alonzo. Yes. I ain't wrote the club book yet. I just did the NWA book.
Y'all go get that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you really want to enjoy what I'm talking about, go to CD Baby and go to get my audio book. It's $10. Oh, it's 50 some odd chapters set to music. I did it on CD Baby because Audible don't do music, so I'm a DJ. I love audio books. Audio books are some of the most boring shit you can listen to if a motherfucker don't know what he's doing. Okay, so I put mine to music, and I got my flavor. All the shit you're hearing right now is set to some funky-ass beats and original shit. So, yeah, go to CD Baby, check out my audio book, N.W.A., Not Without Alonzo.
Dope, bro. I was like, this needs to be in a book. You need to come out with another book then. Instructing DJs.
I've seen for the last 40 years, I've seen every transition from Michael Jackson to the Migos. Okay, now when you've seen all that right there,
yeah.
You go from the time when I was, now I ain't talking about when I was a kid going to parties,
right.
To when I just started doing them,
right.
Okay, when I was going to them, niggas had to knock out the dust off their shoes, mm-hmm. You know, oh man, here come some ladies,
right.
Now niggas, yeah. Here come some bitches.
Oh man.
Here come some bitches.
Oh my God.
Oh, he ain't lying though. He's not lying though. We gave dances.
When we went to dances, we had to take our shoes off. They called them sock hops because niggas wore dress shoes everywhere.
Oh.
Now niggas wear tennis shoes everywhere. If you wore tennis shoes back today, you were a tennis shoe pimp.
Got it. You looked at you lower.
You my tennis shoe, nigga.
Got you.
Nigga, you had to have Stacy's. They better be shy with no dent in them.
Got you.
Right.
Dope.
This is real shit, man.
Dope. Wow.
This is double O shit. This is triple OG shit.
Dope.
Right.
Okay, I got an ARP card, motherfucker. I ain't playing.
I know we're running out of time, Lonzo. A couple questions if you can just squeeze them in for me. Your favorite artist of all time. Y'all don't have to be rap. Artist, period. Music.
Man, I've always been rolling with George Clinton.
Ooh.
It's hard to beat George. It's hard to beat Ron Isley for me. It's hard to beat Luther. Hard to beat Tina.
Tina Turner.
Tina Marie. You know, it's hard to beat Tina Marie, okay. Man. It's hard to beat Michael, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to beat Prince. Nigga, I ain't no favorite. You know, it's hard to beat the Temptations for me, man.
Oh, I wasn't around it, but music is fire.
If you like the Temptations, the Temptations when shit, they couldn't touch vocally the Dells.
That was my dad's favorite group. He used to tell me the same thing, the Dells.
Temptations a bad motherfucker. Mm-hmm. The Dells is a singer, motherfucker. Everything for a microphone.
My pops used to say the same thing, the Dells. He said the one of the movies was kind of loosely.
Five Heartbeats. Five Heartbeats.
Yep.
You know, so when you've been a student of music as long as I have, you understand the impact what the notes mean and how them keys hit a motherfucking, you know, give a nigga a chill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit! Damn. Okay.
Right.
You get that motherfucking chill.
Right.
Nigga, that motherfucking says something.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's what gets you laid. You can't get laid on this new version shit. You get shot, but you can't get laid.
We definitely going to bring you back, bro. I'm not trying to hold you up. I just had to ask you that. And you touched on the nonprofit that you got going on.
Nonprofit Lyrical Revolution.
Can artists get in touch with you somehow?
Yeah. Hit me on Instagram, Real Lonzo NWA. Go to my website, LonzoWilliams.com. Uh, looking for the bad signal, I'm easy to find. Shit.
Bad signal, y'all. You know what I mean? You already know.
Well, you know what the bad signal is. You motherfuckers
know. I'm thinking the real bad signal. No, okay. That was fucking enough for me. I'm thinking literal bad, like, you know, I don't know what it is. Hey, okay. Hey, I'm in the dark. I'm in the dark on this
one. You got a new YouTube channel for
the haters. YouTube channel, Lonzo Williams. I got two YouTube channels, man. One of them is a little bit more popular than the other one right now, but I'm doing a mentoring YouTube channel also called Lonzo Presents GAME, Grown Ass Man Enlightenment. Because motherfuckers is dumb! Motherfuckers is dumb!
Grown Ass Man Enlightenment.
Okay?
Y'all go. Okay? Y'all go.
And on that one right there, I talk about shit that's real as fuck that niggas need to know, man. Child support, 17% off the top, nigga, before taxes. By the time you pay your taxes, your child support and taxes, half your money gone, nigga.
Mm. Oh, man.
And you don't like the bitch no more. So you gotta pay child support to this broad you don't like.
Right.
But baby, you probably didn't want.
Right.
And if you do want the baby, she gonna use it like a little pie. Mm-hmm. In some cases, mm-hmm. Not all.
A lot.
Okay, a lot of them. Okay, you got love for him or her, but you ain't got love for her, so nigga, you can't see her unless you fucking me. Okay? Wow. So in the meantime, if you don't do me right, my big brother gonna come fucking with you. My big brother, Connie. Okay? He gonna give you a hard time, and he give my 17%, you know, off the top.
Right.
I listen to Poe Dumb Blueface. He did two interviews. I'm like, nigga.
You talking about the rapper?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think two interviews this little motherfucker. I'm like, I need to whoop your ass. And if I say that, he gonna think, oh, nigga, old motherfucker, go move it. No, nigga, I don't want to put anything like that. Just spank your ass, nigga. He's just stupid.
Why you say that?
Charlamagne the God had him on the Breakfast Club one day.
Okay.
And Charlamagne asked him, he said, hey, man, what kind of contract you doing? How do you business? This nigga says, oh, man, my people do all that. He said recently, since December, he slept with over 1,000 women.
I read that.
Nigga.
I read that.
You finna get you a good case of HIV or a bunch of motherfucking babies. One of the two.
Yeah.
You almost want HIV. You gonna have
a gang of kids, bro, doing. Okay. Or worst case scenario, like you just said.
See, what niggas understand is, when you doing all that fucking and catch the right girl, the wrong one, because you ain't getting that pussy, nigga, because you all that cute. Nigga, they trying to get a check.
Yeah, they trying to get that bread.
A check, okay? And 17%, nigga, you might be making $2 million a year.
Ooh, that's a lot of money. That's almost $200,000, $340,000. Yeah, okay, excuse me.
Okay, but the baby needs to not take it. She gets $340,000.
Yeah.
Over a period of a year. So if you getting, I'm just hypothetically. Right. This is what, I mean, Blake Griffin pays one girl like $360 a year, a month.
Dwight Howard got like 7 baby mamas or something like that.
Yeah. There's one, Blake Griffin's baby mama got 2 babies by different cats in the NBA. She makes almost $500,000 a month.
She can retire
on
now.
On child support.
That's crazy.
Baby ain't got no issues, but she gets $500,000 a month.
That's crazy. She's a baller. She's a baller.
Okay, so niggas, you ain't getting pussy because it's just pussy. Mm-hmm. It's an investment. This pussy is an investment, nigga. She's trying to bust one so she can bust your ass, okay? Anyway, and you see this stuff, you see it still going on in 2019. Ain't nobody ganking these niggas' chains.
Yeah, it's not enough. Mentoring, that's what I look for.
And the bad part about it, even if I told him, he ain't gonna listen right now.
Nah.
He ain't gonna listen right now. So I gotta tell him, let it go past him and hit another motherfucker.
Right.
Hit the next nigga coming up.
Right.
So I just say what I say and do what I do, because hopefully it's like rain. You do enough rain, somebody gonna get wet.
Right.
That's what I do,
Doc. So y'all go to that YouTube channel, because this is only a snippet I can imagine of the content you're going to get on
GAME, Lonzo Presents Grown Ass Man Enlightenment, and my other YouTube channel, Godfather West Coast Hip Hop, Lonzo Williams.
Y'all go check that website.
And your audiobook.
NWA, Not Without Alonzo, folks. Go to CD Baby. It's only $10.99. You'll love it. I'm telling you, I'm keep it real.
I'm gonna go get it. I gotta hear this.
Greg back did the forward for me, and he talks about me, in a way that I had to respect that. You know, as you can see, I'm not an asshole. I like making motherfuckers laugh. Right, okay, right, I should have been a goddamn comedian, but I got the heart for that shit. But you know, I've always been a resource for the West Coast. Yep. I've been a resourceful cat. So yep. When niggas needed a distributor, I formed West Coast Record Distributors. When they needed an artist, right. Okay. Right. When they needed, when Easy wanted to meet Jerry Heller, I made that happen.
Right.
Okay. Right. When Easy needed a graphic designer, I put him together with my people to do the Ruthless logos.
You were the label.
When he did needed a lawyer, I took it to my lawyer.
That's what the label does. That's
right. Right. I did all that. So because I had some experience, and I'm a freak. I'm a open-hearted cat.
Right.
You know, I don't mind helping cats. Right. You know, and every once in a while, somebody help me out too.
Yeah, it's always once in a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got more help from motherfuckers that I didn't do nothing for than the ones I did more for.
Yeah, I know that's wow. Fucked up. That's that fucked up shit. You know okay. What I'm saying? Yeah. That's people.
Anyway, folks.
Yes.
Appreciate you.
Much love.
I like to say, and me and my cousin Michelle Farrell would like to say, man, this is an honor. Period.
Right on, man. I appreciate
honor,
you.
Straight up.
Spending time
no,
with y'all.
Forget the camera. It's honor, bro.
Yeah, yo,
especially to a fellow bro from the same section. And can we get a shout out for Dub CNN?
Yeah. Oh, man. Much love to Dub CNN. When she told me what the name was, I missed that one. God, that's a cold ass name. I love that shit. Dub CNN, y'all.
Yeah.
Your boy Lonzo right here, the Godfather of West Coast Hip Hop, kicking it with a shell. Go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And Dub CNN, y'all.
Yes,
I ain't got nothing but love for both of y'all. Appreciate
yes,
it.
Well, yes,
man.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.